Please be seated. Before Jared comes up, we're going to have the two passages he'll be speaking from read to us. So Mark Chapman, Mark's around. Yeah, Mark's coming up. So while he comes up, the first one is Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Thanks, Mark.
Good morning, church. Philippians 2, chapter 5, verses 5 to 11. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The next reading is from Matthew. Please turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Great, thank you, and good morning to you all. I hope that you are feeling well, and I'm very glad that you're here with us. How about I pray, and then we'll get stuck into God's word. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, you are glorious and you rule above all else. We praise and thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for sending your only Son, our Lord Jesus, to rescue us from our sin, and for sending your Holy Spirit to live in us and give us life in Christ, to write your law on our hearts, to take away our cold, dead hearts of stone and replace them with beating, pumping hearts of flesh. Lord, as we study your word this morning, help us to be receptive to what you are saying to us. And by your Spirit, Lord, we pray that you would change us to make us more like Jesus. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my name is Jared, as we said a moment ago. And you know, an interesting thing about names is that they have meanings. Who knows that names have meanings? Is that something that people have come across before? Yep, cool. So a helpful example, I think, is to look at our surnames, because I think those are often a bit more obvious as to what they originally mean, often, but not always. So many people have surnames linked to an occupation, the name of an ancestor of theirs, or the name of where their family is from, perhaps. So Smith means blacksmith or metal worker. Farmer is a surname for farmers. Fisher for fishers. Miller, for you guessed it, Millers, and Walker for people who make really great shortbread. And those aren't the only kind of surnames. You also get things like Wilson, Davidson, and Johnson, which point back towards an ancestor who was called Will, David, or John. And then they called their children Wilson, Davidson, and Johnson. And it continued like that. Maybe your family is from Scotland. Like my wife, her family's originally from Scotland. And so her maiden name is MacFarlane. And I think that's the son of Farlane. They could have gone for Farlinson, but they went for Mac at the beginning, and I think that's pretty cool. Vandenberg, or if you want to pronounce it a different way, Vandenberg, means from the mountain. And a few more closer to home. You can correct me on these if I'm wrong later. But I thought it would be fun to think about the surnames of the pastors here at Bull Creek and what they mean. Vandekooi for Josh means from the pen, which is often linked to duck hunters or breeders. So if you're trying to get ready for Christmas Day and you're like, man, I really need a duck, you should probably go ask Josh because he'll be able to hook you up. If you think about Newell for Craig Newell means comes from the new hall as opposed to the old hall. So where is Craig? He's at the Newell, yeah. Vivian means lively, lifeful, or alive. So we can ask Mark whether he's feeling lively, full of life, or just alive this morning. And back at Maidavale, where I'm based now, we have Roger Palmer and Donovan Morling as our pastors. Palmer means someone with palms. Just kidding, I don't know what Palmer means. But Roger does have palms. And Donovan told me his name means dark warrior. But it could also be a contraction of don't own a van. If you say don't own a van, don't own a van, blah, 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 you end up with Donovan. But I think he prefers the dark warrior origin. And my name, Jared, means descend or go down, which is interesting. It's amazing to think that the names that people call us and that we call other people have meanings, even though if you're anything like me, you probably don't take notice of that all that much every day. But they have meanings. And when I'm on a plane, I haven't been on a plane for a while now, like I suspect many of us, but when the pilot says we're about to descend, my ears, they don't perk up. I don't think, oh, he's talking about me. But if he said we're about to Jared, I'd be like, whoa, what's going on? What's the pilot saying? Do they need my help? I probably can't help you. But that would make me take notice. And our names have meanings. It's interesting. And so when we think about names having meanings, there is significance to the names having meanings. And in the Bible, people are given names with significant meanings. And so I've titled this sermon, What's in a Name? Because many times in his word, God tells us the significance of names. Now, from thinking about how names have meaning in general, we moved back 2,000 years to Bethlehem. There's Mary, there's Joseph, there's shepherds watching their flocks by night, and there's angels appearing to people and wise men from the east. But there's one person who stands out, the one who Christmas is all about, the King come to earth. So to recap the story that we looked at in Matthew, soon after Mary becomes pregnant, as we read in Matthew 1, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph. And what does the angel tell him? The angel tells Joseph not to be afraid to marry Mary. Try saying that 5 times quickly. Marry Mary. Don't be afraid to marry Mary. Because the baby in Mary's tummy is from the Holy Spirit. Then the angel tells Joseph something extremely important. The angel tells Joseph something that we must not miss. The angel tells Joseph to name the baby Jesus, to name the baby Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Name the baby Jesus. And Jesus, like other names, has a meaning. Jesus means the Lord saves. And why is Jesus to be called the Lord saves? Because, as we read in verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. this baby born to Mary will be the Saviour of his people. And later in this passage, we read in verse 23 that Jesus is to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is no ordinary baby. The name Emmanuel comes from a prophecy from a prophet called Isaiah 700 years before Jesus walked the earth. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, Emmanuel, God with us. So in this passage, Jesus is given two names. The first is Jesus, which means the Lord saves, and the other is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And how is this baby born in Bethlehem, in a little town out in the back area, going to save his people? How is this baby going to save his people? And we're going to have a look at Philippians chapter 2 to dig into that a bit more. So if you want to flick over to there, if you're trying to find Philippians, there are many different devices you can use, like what's mine? Gentiles eat pork chops. That's a good one for Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And yeah, there's I think Donovan says girls eat plenty cake, so you can take that up with him if you don't like that one. But yeah, we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 2, and have a look with me at verses 5 to 8 first. So thinking about Jesus with his two names, Jesus and Emmanuel, the Lord saves, God with us. Philippians 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. He's talking about humility here. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Like we see in Matthew 1, Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus is in very nature God. He is God. Jesus has existed forever. He exists now. He will exist forever. This Jesus is God himself. He is the all-powerful God. Jesus, even as a baby, is fully God. The mighty second person of the Trinity. God the Son, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus made himself nothing. Not by becoming any less God, but by becoming human. Jesus, the Almighty God, humbled himself to become one of us. He emptied himself, not by taking anything away, but by adding on humanity. Fully God, fully man. Jesus entered the world he created. How mind-blowing is that? Isn't it astonishing when we think of that? That the all-powerful God would come to earth to be born as a baby. What enormous humility for God to do that, to come to earth as a human, as one of us, as a baby, fully man. And not only did Jesus become human, he came with a purpose. Just as we've seen Jesus' name means the Lord saves, Jesus came to save. Jesus lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He obeyed God's law perfectly. And he never did anything wrong. Jesus always did what was right. And when we think about Jesus, and we think about how perfect he is, how he never did anything wrong, we realize that we don't measure up. We don't match the perfection of the Lord Jesus. And none of us are perfect. We all do the wrong thing. We might think that in comparison to our friends or other people out there or murderers or whoever we want to compare ourselves to, that we're okay. But if we look at Jesus, the perfect one, we see that we don't match perfection. And that is why we need to be saved. You see, we need to be rescued. The wrong that we do is offensive to God. It breaks that relationship. And the God who lovingly gave us everything, we turn against him and say, we want what you are offering us in terms of the world and the creation, but we don't want you, God. That's the nature of our hearts. All of us, by nature, are born in sin. And we need to be saved from the righteous judgment that God has against our sin that we deserve. And there is only one way to be saved, and that is in the Lord Jesus. In Acts 4:12, talking about Jesus, we read, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Only Jesus is the one who offers salvation. And Jesus humbles himself not only to be one of us, but to serve us in verse 7. "But emptied himself by taking the form of a servant." Jesus comes as a servant. And how does he serve us? How does the Lord Jesus serve us? It's by dying. God the Son himself dying. Not just any death either. No, dying in the most humiliating way possible. On a cross. On a hill outside Jerusalem. Enduring the punishment reserved for the worst of the worst. Jesus dies in the most humiliating way 2,000 years ago. And he died in the place of his people, those he came to save. On the cross, God takes the judgment that his people deserves on himself in the person of Jesus. So God takes the judgment that his people deserve on himself in the person of Jesus. And what may on the surface look like a failure to save his people is how Jesus saves his people. The worst act of human evil ever committed, where humans kill Jesus, the only innocent man to have ever lived on a cross, was planned by God to save his people. Jesus dies for his people. He saves and he rescues his people. And from there, Jesus rises again from the dead. Jesus doesn't avoid death. No, Jesus goes willingly to the cross to die in the place of his people. And Jesus comes back from the dead to real flesh and bones life. Jesus doesn't save his people from other people or from the Romans. Jesus saves his people from their ultimate enemies. Jesus saves his people from their sin by taking their judgment on himself on the cross. Jesus saves his people from death, breaking its power and triumphantly defeating death in his death and his resurrection. And Jesus saves his people from the devil by breaking the devil's power and rescuing Jesus' people from darkness and bringing them out of darkness and into light. So we've seen how Jesus is true to his name. Jesus saves through his self-sacrificial death on the cross and in his resurrection. But what is the end of all of this? Where is all of this going? And let's continue reading in Philippians 2 from verse 8 again. "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." God has exalted the Lord Jesus above all else. And did you notice how the name idea comes up again? We've seen Jesus' name means the Lord saves. Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus will save his people from their sins. And here we see that Jesus is given the name that is above every name. Not just a good name. Not just a great name, not just a well-known name, not even one of the best names ever. No, the name that is above every name. This Jesus, whose name means the Lord saves, who saves his people from their sins, his name is above every other name. And one day, at the end, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Without exception, everyone will bow at the name of Jesus, but not everyone will be saved. So Jesus has the name above every name. The Lord saves. And why is Jesus given the name Jesus? Because if you remember back to Matthew 1:21, because he will save his people from their sins. And notice who it is that Jesus saves. It's his people. It's not everyone. So the question to ask is, am I one of Jesus' people? Are you one of Jesus' people? Or to put it another way, do I belong to Jesus? Do you belong to Jesus? That's a question we all need to ask ourselves, because the end is coming. And one day we will all stand before God, before the almighty righteous judge of the world. And God will judge fairly, not according to our human standards, not if I'm an all right bloke or if I did more good things than bad things. No, the standard that God will judge us by is the Lord Jesus. And Jesus is perfect. And none of us measure up to Jesus' standard of perfection. And so the thing that makes the difference in the end is whether we belong to Jesus or not. That decides our eternal destiny. If you imagine God's judgment like this coming down, for those of us who are in Jesus, the judgment has already been paid by him. But for those who are outside of Jesus, the terrifying prospect of still being under God's judgment remains. And so it's absolutely essential that we get right with Jesus now, that we acknowledge and bow before him now, not only at the end where everyone will bow without exception, because then it will be too late to become right with Jesus. So how can I be one of Jesus' people? And I think it can be helpfully thought of with the acronym ACT. So the first one being A, to acknowledge our sin, to admit to God that, yes, I'm a sinner. I'm someone who has chosen to rebel against you, Lord God, and I've chosen to go my own way. And then to C, cry for mercy, to ask God to be merciful to us, to say, Lord, please, don't give me what I deserve, but give me your mercy and grace. Give me salvation in the Lord Jesus. And T, to trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because we need him in order to be right with God. We cannot be right with God apart from the Lord Jesus. And it's vital that we do this now while we still have time. We have no idea when we'll die or when Jesus will return and we'll stand before God. We know that Jesus is coming back, and the time to act is now. And I'll lead us in a prayer in a few minutes where we'll do those three things. We'll acknowledge our sin, we'll cry for mercy, and trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And if that's true for you, then it's a wonderful thing for us to keep doing, to keep acknowledging our sin, to keep crying for mercy, to keep trusting in Jesus. But if you've never put your trust in Jesus before, then today is the day to do it, to put your trust in the one who brings salvation for his people, in the one who is God with us, in the one whose name is above every name. But perhaps this is all new to you. Maybe this is your first time ever in a church. If that's you, it's great to have you here. And if putting your trust in Jesus is something you're interested in finding out more about, but you're not ready to do that yet, come chat to me, come chat to Bruce or Mark, any of the people you've seen around. We'd love to chat to you more about the Lord Jesus and to pray with you. And also, I'd like to encourage you to, Josh announced some of those services coming up. Why not come along to those? Come and hear more about who Jesus is and what he's done to bring salvation. For many of us, I suspect that this is a familiar message, the Christmas message. We've heard this year in, year out of salvation in the Lord Jesus, of Jesus coming to be born and to rescue his people. But let's not lose the awe and the wonder of what the Christmas story really is, of God himself taking on flesh to become one of us, to rescue us. Let's never lose sight of how amazing and mind-blowing that truth is, that God would do that for us, that God would do that to rescue us. And Christmas is not about presents or family or turkey or goose or roast potatoes or duck, although you should ask Josh for duck. Those things are all great, for sure. But Christmas is about the one whose name is above every name. Christmas is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas is about God himself coming to save his people. God taking on flesh. God walking around. God himself, one of us. And why? To save us. To save his people. And how awe-inspiring that is to think of God who took on flesh to save us. Jesus means the Lord saves. Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus is given the name above every name. And I'm sure we have friends and family who don't yet know Jesus. And we know that whether you know Jesus or not makes a difference for eternity. So we can go out there and tell our friends and family this awesome message of salvation in Jesus and invite them along to come to the carols, to come to Christmas Eve or Christmas Day services. I think it's really interesting that in our world today, we still have things like the nativity scene in the shopping center. People are happy to talk about Christmas as a thing, and they're happy to celebrate the day of Christmas. And so that gives us a fantastic opportunity to talk to people about Jesus and say, hey, well, my church is having a carols thing. Why don't you come along to that? And invite people along, because knowing Jesus makes the eternal difference of whether we will be right with God, enjoying him forever, or whether we'll be under his judgment and in condemnation forever. So let's pray for our family and friends who don't know Jesus, and for the people who we don't know yet who don't know Jesus. Let's invite people in. Maybe you bump into someone on the street. Maybe you could give them a card that has a, I don't know if you guys have those like little printed out cards with the dates for your carols and things like that. Or maybe send out an email invite, chat to people, because this message of knowing Jesus is absolutely the biggest thing that we need to know. It makes the difference for our eternity, for their eternity. We're talking about forever here. So if we have to have a couple of awkward conversations, let's have all the awkward conversations we can have for the sake of eternity. Because people are going to bow to Jesus one day. Everyone without exception will bow to Jesus. Let's tell them about Jesus now so they can bow to him before it's too late. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word where you've told us who Jesus is, where you've told us that Jesus' name means the Lord saves, because he will save his people from their sins. Thank you, Lord, for the great encouragement that is for all of us who know the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you that the Lord Jesus is also given the name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And we thank you that as we read in Philippians, that because the Lord Jesus humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant, and died to save his people, that you've exalted him, that you've given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Father, we praise you and thank you that the Lord Jesus is coming back, and grant that we would all make sure that we are right with you, Lord. And we pray that we would be prayerfully praying for our friends and our family and the people that we meet who don't yet know you, Lord. The people in our community, we pray that we would be constant in prayer for them, and that we would be reaching out with the awesome gospel message of salvation in the Lord Jesus alone. And now, Father, we come to a time where we want to come to you and acknowledge our sin. Father, we are sinful people. So often we go our own way. We want to run life our own way. We're rebels by nature, Lord. We're sinful people. We do the wrong thing. We say the wrong thing. We think the wrong thing. We don't do the right things, Lord. And when we look at the Lord Jesus, we see that we do not match perfection. We do not live up to the perfect standard that you've set. And so, Lord, we cry for you to be merciful to us. Lord, would you be gracious to us, sinful people? Lord, would you make alive those who don't yet know you in the Lord Jesus? Lord, we ask for your mercy. And Lord, we trust that you, Lord Jesus, You are the one in whom salvation can be found. You alone, Lord Jesus, are the one in whom salvation can be found. You came, Lord, to save your people from their sins. Your name, Lord Jesus, means the Lord saves. Emmanuel means God with us. And you, Lord Jesus, have the name above every name. And so we bow to you now and acknowledge that you, Lord Jesus, are the King. You are our King. And Lord, we trust that your death is our death, that your resurrection guarantees our resurrection. And we trust in you, Lord Jesus, for you are the only way to salvation. You are the great and glorious God, and we praise you and give you all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.